Well, that last song rocked the house, didn't it?
Amen.
It was really, really good. It's blessed my heart. So I really want to, I want us to think about the song that we just got through singing, Oh, Praise the Lord and Bless His Name. And, you know, we were just on shouting ground with that, and the choir and orchestra and everybody did such a fine job. But if you got your life point outline in front of you this morning, I hope that you've already pulled it out. I want to do a segue in that. I want to talk to you this morning just because I have come to a place of just being convinced that this is where we're supposed to be today. And I'm trusting that I have heard the Holy Spirit correctly. I want to talk to you about how to keep going. Amen. According to what God teaches us in the Word. We're going to look at the book of Lamentations in the Old Testament. Not a lot of times that I preach out of Lamentations, but it has some real, real insight and teaching about how to keep going when it's difficult maybe to put one foot in front of the other. And it isn't, sometimes maybe it's physical, but a lot of times it's just emotional. Just the emotional strength to keep going, doing what you know you need to do, and not being overwhelmed by where you are in life. Lamentations 3, 47 through 48 in the New Living Translation says, "We have suffered terror and pitfall, ruin and destruction." Then notice he says, "Streams of tears flow from my eyes because of the destruction of my people." And then you go back a chapter, Lamentations 2, verse 11. Jeremiah says, "I have cried until the tears no longer come. My heart is broken. My spirit is poured out as I see what has happened to my people." Let's just ask God to speak to our hearts. Will you do that with me? All right. Father, Lord, we just thank you that you are a Father. And you have given us insight and instruction in Scripture. The power of the Word is through the presence of the Holy Spirit with us. And our relationship with you through faith in Jesus Christ. We are connected to you. But we're here on this earth, Father. And at times it gets dark. And we're uncertain of our next step. And we need to understand in fresh ways what to do when it just seems like we can't go on, like we're unsure. So, Father, I pray this morning for anyone either listening online or those here physically present who are struggling. And I pray today that this will be like a cold drink of water on a hot day, that you will refresh our souls. We pray this through Christ our Lord. Amen and amen. I want to talk to those of us today, and all of us are, at one time or another, we find ourselves in the midst of life change. Maybe we've had a major blow to our life. And of course, that can come in a lot of different ways, relational, physical, maybe something spiritual that's taken place in our life. And so the question is that I want to wrestle with you this morning is, how do you navigate your days when you feel like personally your life is just like splintering? And it's difficult for you to draw everything together. How do you find the strength to go on when you're in the midst of what you would term a tragedy? And all of us deal with that. All of us have gone through some very difficult days with COVID. It's like the fall that won't stop. It's like something that just won't go away, and it keeps coming in different forms and one wave after the other, and it gets weary. Would you agree with that? It just gets weary. You're like, if somebody talks to me about a shot one more time, I think I'm just, you know, going to go bite bark off a tree or something. I don't want to hear it. I don't want to talk about it. I'm tired of it. You know, I'm in the midst of huge life change. Catherine and I are. And while I am fully convinced that I am doing the will of God. I lay down at night with that understanding. But can you understand that many of my days would best be described as the grieving of the death of normal? You know, for 50 years, I've had one kind of normal. I get up, I come here. I do the work of ministry. You know, and I go and do a lot of different things. What do you do? How do you emotionally manage your days when your spouse walks in and he or she says, I'm leaving and I'm not coming back? You know, if you're married, you or your spouse is going to be the first to die. I could put that in a marriage ceremony, but I don't think it would fly real well. You know, to say, I just want you to understand, as y'all join your life together, one of you will bury the other one. Pause and think about that. It just kind of puts a damper on the whole day. You know, while I'm convinced that I'm following God's will, I know that either I'm going to bury Catherine or she's going to bury me. And you know, how will you get through that? I mean, you know, if we're smart, we just kind of think about those things before they happen and just not dwell on it overly so. But I mean, you gotta start thinking about that. Parents, children, brothers, sisters are going to die. What do you do when somebody that you love is there 1 minute and then the next they're gone? What do you do when a doctor looks at you? And I'll never forget that day. You know, my urologist looked at me and he was so poker faced. You know, I was trying to read him. And he just looks at you and he says, it's cancer. I wasn't expecting that. He's not supposed to say that word and be talking to me, you know, at the same time. But he did. What do you do when a doctor looks at you and says, it's cancer and it's terminal? We know some loved ones who've heard that, right? Amen. What do you do when life falls apart? How do you find the strength to go on when you go through major life change? Well, I think I've just about covered most of the aspects of that. So the prophet Jeremiah went through a horrendous time in his life. When an enemy horde overran his nation, they enslaved all of the Jews and they resettled his entire nation in a foreign land. Now that's a huge, huge deal. Jeremiah saw enormous atrocities, inhumane things done to his people, his family, his loved ones. And the thing is, normal was gone for the rest of his natural life. His life would never be the same. I mean, how do you get over something like that, right? And if we can learn how Jeremiah handled the death of normal, I think we can make a pathway in our wilderness. That's what I'm looking at here. Jeremiah wrote what he saw and how he felt in two books. One of them is the book by his name, the book of Jeremiah, and the other one is the one I read just a few minutes ago. It's the book of Lamentations, both of them in God's Old Testament. Lamentations 3, 47 and 48 says, "We have suffered terror, ruin, and destruction. Streams of tears flow from my eyes because of the destruction of my people." And so when you read that, you've got to understand that Jeremiah was saying, I am overwhelmed. And there's no manual on how to handle my days emotionally and spiritually. And so that's what he was facing. And God told Jeremiah over the passage of time. He told Jeremiah what to do after a tragedy. He told him what to do when you go through huge life change. And my point is, what God told Jeremiah is his answer to me and to you in whatever you're going through. When you're in the midst of huge life change, when you're in the midst of tragedy, and some of you are watching this morning and you've gone through a life tragedy, you've had a loss, and you'll never be the same. And maybe you're wondering, is the sun ever going to shine in my life again? Am I ever going to get over this? Am I ever going to want to face another day? Is there ever going to be joy again in my life? And the answer to that is yes. Yes, through the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's what I want to just break apart for a few minutes, okay? If you'll just listen with me. The first thing that I need to do, and this is why God has just spoke to my heart, and the first thing that you need to do when you're going through a tragedy or a life change, and life is just, you know, turning upside down as far as you're concerned, first thing you do is you keep your eyes and your hope, number one, on God. Keep your eyes and your hope. And of course, they would go without saying. But Lamentations 3, 28 and 29, let me read it from the Message version. When life is heavy and hard to take, go off by yourself. Enter the silence, bow in prayer, don't ask questions, listen, wait for hope to appear. You go back some time and you read that from the Message translation. Jeremiah just told me a huge insight about my father. And you know what that is? It's something I need to be reminded when I've been, you know, even where I am and where you are. We get caught up in our days, and we need to be reminded afresh. We thought maybe we'd never have to be reminded of this, but we do, and that is, in the midst of what you're going through, do not forget, God wants to talk to you. God wants to talk to you. And maybe you'd say, but God's not talking to me right now. It's just like the line's been cut and it's quiet. So here's the insight. The number one reason we don't hear God talk to us is because we're too busy. We're too busy. Many of us have never prayed to God. Lord, is there something you want to tell me? God, is there something you want to say to me? And then you say, well, yeah, I've said that before. But have you said that? And then, listen, for the next 10 or 15 minutes. No, you say, well, yeah, I did that. No, you didn't. You probably sat there for 30 seconds and it seemed like a half hour, but it wasn't. And so when you say, Lord, is there something you want to tell me? Then you are quiet and you're still for like 10, 15, 20 minutes, whatever. And you wait on God to speak into your heart and your mind. This is what I'm understanding. And if we want strength to go on in life, We need to set aside 10 to 15 minutes a day to just be alone with Him. You sit in your favorite chair, you know, get a good cup of coffee, tea, Coke, whatever, and then you grab a Bible. And let me repeat that, because I want you, don't go over this. If I want to hear from God, if you want to hear from God in your pain, listen, I do not get on my knees primarily and cry out to Him and wait for Him to give me impressions. I don't do that. If I want to hear, and this is in your notes, if I want to hear from God in my pain, I grab a Bible. I grab His Word. I get in a quiet place. I ask for the guidance of the Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit, guide me. I don't know. I just need a word from God. I need a word from you. I need you to speak to me. Holy Spirit, I ask you for guidance. And then you begin reading the word, and then you're just quiet. And you wait on God to speak to you through His word. And sometimes you're saying, Brother John, where do I go in the word? When you're in doubt, I found when you're in doubt about where to go in the word, one of the best places, bar none, to start is the book of Psalms. You just go to the book of Psalms. David was a man of heartache. David used so much heartache. David was a man of struggle. He was a guy who went through one disappointment after another. Anointed of God, God was all over his life, and David knew one disappointment after another. David knew what it was to lose. He suffered loss. He went through one betrayal after another, and he paved the way for those of us who follow the Lord to follow him as he goes through his experiences. So you just get in the book of Psalms. And if we want the strength to go on when we've been gut punched, we set aside a time every day, a quiet time, 10, 15 minutes, to be still and to let God speak to us. Just be still. And here's the insight. The first thing when you're in a tragedy or you're coming out of a tragedy or a huge life change is you focus on God and prayer. You just get alone with him. Jesus taught this. Matthew 6 and verse 6 in the Message translation again said this: find a quiet, secluded place. Just be there as simply and honestly as you can manage. Listen, and the focus will shift from you to God, and you will begin to sense his grace. And so if we're in the midst of a tragedy or a life change, life just tends to slow down. Sometimes your day is just like drag by. And perspective can change. What you want is, I want godly perspective. You know what you want? I want to look at life the way God does. And getting alone with God and the Word directs my life perspective so that how I feel doesn't affect my perspective. I don't want to be led by my feelings, because my feelings will lead me wrong. I want to be led by what the Word says, the right way. I want you to listen to, there's this poem that I found that I thought was so apropos. It's entitled, Slow Me Down, Lord. Slow me down, Lord. Slow me down, Lord. Ease the pounding of my heart through the quieting of my mind. Steady my hurried pace with a vision of the eternal reach of time. In other words, God, just stop my scurrying and going here and there. Just let me get still. Give me in the midst of confusion of my days the calmness of the everlasting hills. Break the tension of my nerves with the soothing music of the singing streams that live within my memory. Help me remember how you have been there in my past. Help me to know the restoring power of sleep. Teach me the art of taking minute vacations, slowing down to look at a flower, pat a stray dog, chat with an old friend, make a new one, watch a spider build a web, smile at a child, read from your Word. Remind me every day that the race is not always to the swift, that there is more to life than just increasing speed. Let me look upward into the branches of that towering oak and know that it grew great and strong because it grew slowly and well. In other words, I'm going to live, and help me to understand and remember that these days are designed for me. And God is wanting me to learn something I can't learn any other way than what I'm going through. Help me to focus on you, not my loss, not focus on my worries, nor my stress. In Jesus' name, amen. Isn't that a great prayer? Isn't that a great way? I just need to be reminded of that. I need to just stop scurrying around. I need to stop the worrying. I need to stop all this that's going on. And I need, as the first point is, keep your eyes and your hope on God. Let me give you some advice. The last thing I need to do right now, as I'm going through transition, the last thing I need to do is take a road trip. Why? This is not the time for that. I'm not going to be able to enjoy any of that. Why? Because I am dealing with life change. That make sense to you? When you're going through life change, this is not time to be taking a vacation. Or take a vacation when you're ready to take a vacation. It's going to be good. I'm going to have a good time. Why? Because I've gotten over what I've just been going through. God's brought me through that. It's not a time to travel. And for crying out loud, don't buy something new. You know, medicate yourself by spending money. That's a dumb thing to do. Why? Because I don't have to spend a lot of money if I'm going to go feeling better. Get alone with God till you can breathe. That's what you do. Get alone with Him. And number two, so you keep your eyes and your hope on God. Number two, you ask God to calm your fears. Lord, calm my fear. What I need to remember. I need to remember that God has made me a promise, and He made the promise to you as well. You know what that promise is? I will never leave you nor forsake you. So that you can boldly say, the Lord is my helper, and I will not be afraid. When we're in the midst of a huge life change or a tragedy, you know, you go through the gamut of emotions. You feel that. And in the truth you outline, the most dangerous life-altering emotion is fear. When you're afraid. You know, grief doesn't paralyze you. People go to work all the time and they're grieving. But they can go to work. They can go through what they need to go through. Anger doesn't paralyze you. There are a lot of angry people that are out and about, and you wish, would you go home? You know, just go home. We'll all be better if you'll just go home. But no, they're out and about, and they're angry. They go to work and do all this. But here's the deal. Fear will freeze you in your tracks. It'll freeze you. And the truth in your outline, the insight, normally to get on with your life after a tragedy or life change, you're going to have to deal with the root causes of fear from a biblical perspective. Lamentations 3:55. I call on your name, O Lord, from the depths of the pit. In other words, this pit of fear. You heard my plea. Here's his plea. Do not close your ear to my cry for help. You came near when I called on you. Listen, and you said, do not fear. I wasn't alive during the days of FDR, but Franklin Roosevelt is said to have made a statement. I suppose it was with regards to war or whatever. He said, we have nothing to fear but fear itself. That's a great quote. The only problem with it is it's not true. It's not true. There are a lot of things to fear in the days of our lives. Huh?
That's right.
Being physically alone. You ever talk to a husband or a wife in particular when their spouse has died and they're all alone and the kids are a long way away? That's real fear, isn't it? Being alone maybe for the first time in decades. Declining resources. If you've never gone through a time where money is really tight and there is no vision, no way of seeing how you're going to get through something financially, that can really be a battle with fear that you've got to deal with. When you've got declining health and it's not going to change. When you've lost true friends, maybe through death, and maybe you have fear come up. And so in your notes, the question becomes this: how do you deal biblically with fear? And the insight in your notes, the Bible says there are three things from God that deal with fear, that deal fear a death blow. And those three things are truth, love, and faith. Truth, love, faith. Let me give those to you right quick. Let's deal number one with truth. Jesus said, our Lord said, the truth will set you what?
Free.
Jesus said, if you want to be helped in life, the number one thing you need is you need truth. Because the majority of my fear and the majority of your fear is based on ignorance. Ignorance of the Word of God. God's Word to you and me. And He said, if you know the truth, It'll set you free. He said, my Father and I, the Holy Spirit, we've already spoken to you about this. We've given you everything you need in the Word. You know, when we come into this world, we, all of us, are born with two basic fears. Every baby has these two fears, bar none. It is number one, the fear of falling, and the fear of a loud noise. Every child has that. Every baby has that. Every other fear that I have and that you have, we learned it. All the other fears we have, we learned it. And a lot of what we learned was a lie. It wasn't the truth. A lot of us think lies about ourselves. We look in the mirror and we tell ourselves something, we say something to ourselves, and it's a lie. Because God didn't say that. God didn't say that about you. He didn't say that about me. What we think about God, a lot of things that we think about God are not true. He'll never forgive me. God keeps bringing this up to me. I feel like God's beating me over the head. God's not doing that. God, our Lord's not doing that. A lot of things we think about life are lies. They're not true. And here's the insight. We can't get rid of fear by saying, I'm not going to be afraid. We have to replace fear with truth. So when I'm having financial challenges, what does the Bible say about finances? Because when I'm going through a financial difficulty, I need the truth, the Holy Scripture. When I am dealing with any kind of fear, whatever it is, whether I'm lonesome or I've got health issues or whatever, I need the truth of God's Word. And one of the truths that I cling to day after day after day after day is the Lord when He said to me, I will never leave you nor forsake you. So that you can boldly say, the Lord is my helper. Hebrews chapter 13. The Lord said, I'll never leave you. Man, when you know that, when you just bank on that, when you just camp there, that ministry. So the first thing I need is I need truth. And then number two, I need the love of God. I need His love. 1 John 4:18, there is no fear in love. In other words, when I'm walking in love, there's no fear in that. I don't ever worry about Catherine leaving me. Why? Well, it's a question. Why do I not? Because she loves you. There you go. And I know that. We love each other. The Lord said, I will never leave you. Why? Because I love you. I love you. And when I live in the love of God, 1 John 4:18 says, perfect love casts out all fear. I have never gone through retirement, some of you geezers. Amen. It's a dubious club, in a way. Why do I not fear that? Or how do I battle fear when I do have that? Not sure about what all that's going to mean. I rest in God's love for me. Was I not with you when you started out? Have I not led you through all these years when you didn't know what your next step was going to be? Have I ever ceased to be with you and to take care of you and to guide you? Listen, the confidence I have in my life does not come because I understand everything that's coming my way. It comes because I understand my Father loves me. And I can never make Him not love me. And He's promised me, I will never leave you nor forsake you. I love you. And that love comforts me. Let me put this where I live. The perfect love of God for me insulates me from fear. It protects me from being dominated by fear. And the more of God's love I have, in other words, the knowledge of the truth of that, the less I fear in life because I am confident God cares for me. And so there's a lot of things I don't know. And when I step out of senior pastor position, I'm going to begin developing a whole new line of ministry. And you think, well, you got that all figured out. No, I don't. I don't. You know, I assume I'll be doing counseling and, you know, I'll be doing funerals and I'll be doing weddings. I assume that. I don't know what all that's going to look like. And the truth in your outline, if you have a lot of fears, you don't know God very well. Because God is love and love is stronger than fear. Oh, you see that so many times. You know, when a parent runs out of a burning house, assuming that everybody is out, and then all of a sudden the reality hits them that there is one child that is still in that house, what is the first response of that parent? They run right back into that house, don't they? Why? Why do they not fear the flames? Because of the love for a child. They love that kid so much, they run right back in to one of their greatest fears. Why? It's because of love. And that's what the Bible says. Perfect love casts out fear. And the Lord says, if you are afraid, it's because you've forgotten I love you. I love you. God's love for me comforts my fear. God says, I will take care of you. So the truth in your outline, a life filled with God's love is a life with a lot less fear. So truth, love, and then faith. I need faith to not be filled with fear. Matthew 14, write this down. Matthew 14, 29 and 30. This is when Peter is walking on the water. And Peter begins to sink because he took his eyes off of Christ. Now listen. When he was looking at Christ, it didn't erase his fear. I mean, he's walking on water, people, in the middle of the ocean, right? And so it didn't erase his fear, but looking at Christ, even though it didn't erase it, it gave him power to keep moving in spite of his fear. And so faith doesn't take away my fear. Most of the time, faith in God gives you the courage and the power and the energy to move and do the very thing that you fear the most, but it needs to be done. And so my faith and my trust in Him keeps me from freezing up. And I do it not because I don't have fear, but because of my love for the Lord. Now, listen, this morning when I got up out of my chair and I walked up here, I was trembling inside. Every week. You'd think by now I'd get past that. But the problem is, every time I get up here, it's a new sermon. And you know that. You know you're not in the habit of receiving from me warmed over leftovers. I try to be fresh every week. For you. Amen. Thank you. And I walk in the pulpit every week. And I've done it for 50 years. And my stomach is in a knot. What keeps me preaching? I walk in the pulpit and I say, Lord, Holy Spirit. Because Jesus said, you know, he said, I'm going to the Father, but if I go to the Father, I will send the Comforter to you. The Holy Spirit is Jesus with me. And I have everything the disciples had when Jesus walked with them. And when I come up to this, I say, Holy Spirit, I have studied, but without you, if you don't stand beside me, I'm sunk. I do it every week. Every time I stand to do a funeral, do you realize how emotional that is? You've got somebody who's been gut punched. You've got somebody who's in the midst of grief. And the last thing you want to do is screw up the final memory of saying goodbye to their loved one. Why did I have him preach that funeral? That was a bummer. That goes through my mind every time. Lord, I've done everything I can to put this together right. Holy Spirit, I ask you to show up and help me. Every time I enter into a counseling session, I pray for God to use my mouth and give me insight, because I can't read the human heart. I don't know what's going on. I don't know what each person really needs to hear without God's guidance. And faith in the faithfulness of God moves me to minister when I could freeze up with fear. Does that make sense? You just freeze unless you trust Him and you have faith in Him. And the truth in your outline, all the fears that you and I battle are overcome by the presence of a person, and that's Jesus Christ, who really is here in the presence of the Holy Spirit. And the more you keep your eyes on Him, the less power fear will have to freeze you from moving forward. And that's just the truth of Scripture. And then let me close with this. The third thing in dealing with life change and with difficulties is you believe above everything you feel, you believe the sun's going to shine again. It's going to shine again. Lamentations 5:21, restore us, O Lord, and bring us back to you again. Give us back the joys we once had. And the truth is, God can restore what sin and death and trauma has taken. And so if you're having a hard time, you've lost a loved one, there's some kind of tragedy, been swallowed by a crisis, traumatized by some life change, what the Bible is saying is you need to refresh your walk with the Lord Jesus again, and you need to pray Jeremiah's prayer. What was his prayer? His prayer was, Lord, bring me back to you again. Just bring me back to you. The Bible is filled with stories of people rising out of the ashes of pain. And the ones who overcome embrace one Bible truth above everything else, and that is this: without faith, it is impossible to please God. And so I have to ask myself, John, do you really believe? Do you really believe God will never and has not ever and has not even now, He has not left you, regardless of what's happened in your life? Do you believe that? Do you believe how you feel, or do you believe what the Word says? Your spouse has died. Do you believe the Lord is with you? Do you believe the Lord will never forsake you? You've got cancer. Do you believe John 10? When the Lord said to you, you are in my Father's hands, or in my hands, and my hands are in the Father's hands. I will take care of you. And you're like, I've got cancer. Okay. God's on His throne. I haven't been deserted. Nothing can touch me except through Him. Psalm 23:13, I would have despaired unless I had believed. Unless I had believed, I would see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. All right, I want to land this plane. I want to do it real fast, but I got to give you these things. All right, let me give you three things not to do and two things to do. All right, number one, don't repress grief. Don't repress your grief. In other words, you just tell God how you feel, all of it. It's not like He doesn't know. So just tell Him, but be honest. Say it to Him. Don't stuff it. God, I don't like this. Right now, this just doesn't seem to be fair. You know, this is so hard. You just do that. You don't repress the grief. Number two, do not resign from life.